Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you. Hey, listeners. I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week, they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Four, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp, this all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon. And scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more.
I'm gonna raise a fuss, I'm gonna raise a holler about running on summer just to try to earn a dollar.
Hey everybody, this is RJ from the Helping Friendly Podcast. I'm here with my friend Jonathan.
Hi.
And I'm here with the rest of my spirit family at a KOA campground in central Pennsylvania. What's up, spirit family?
Hey.
Everyone's trying not to be depressed. Matt is on the phone. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys.
Thanks for calling in. Matt, you were in the campground last night, so let's start with you. Tell us what it was like getting in and being there and the news spreading and all that.
It was good. We were actually incredibly prepared, probably more so than like any other festival that I've gone to. So it was kind of a shame that things didn't work out. But we had met up with a couple of different pairs of friends in Corning and got in, and we got our campsite set up, and we had like a really great spot, super close to the venue, exactly where we wanted to be. Our campsite was awesome. We had all the gear we need. We felt like if it rained, we were set. If it was sunny, we were set. It was all looking good. Drank a couple beers, and we were kind of waiting for sound check to start and sitting under our tent because it was really hot. It was really sunny, so we were kind of waiting till the last minute. And then we had packed up a little mini cooler with some beers, and we're going to walk over to where the venue was, because the rumor was that the venue was going to actually open either during sound check or right after sound check.
Okay.
So we were looking to, like, hey, you know, go over your sound check and then go in and explore, check out all the art installations and maybe eat some food and stuff.
And that sounds like a solid plan.
Literally, I was on Twitter just looking to see if anybody who was sitting over by the gate said anything about it opening or, you know, sound check, like being ready to go or anything, and saw the statement from, it came out first from Watkins Glen. They shared the New York State Department of Health statement about it. And it was weird for us. It was so surreal that, like, I was reading and I was telling other people at our campsite, and they were actually making fun of me and, like, basically just, like, laughing at me and being like, you know, stop joking with us. You don't understand what you're reading and stuff. And I had to, like, show them my phone that this statement was there before people believed us. And it was really weird because you could tell that, like, most people around didn't know. Everybody was still walking around and happy. They didn't make fish.com didn't put anything up for 10 more minutes. The bunny didn't make an announcement for like 15-20 minutes. And then you could see on people's faces that people were starting to find out and sort of like hurrying back to their campsite and trying to figure stuff out. And then when they came on the bunny, I made sure that we had a Bluetooth speaker, and we were at a prime location, like in an intersection, so I made sure I turned it up as loud as I possibly could and just kind of played it for people. And kind of people were sort of just stopped at our campground, like in disbelief. So it was weird because, like, you know, I was in Coventry too.
Yeah.
And as opposed to that, or any other festival where something goes wrong, or, like, you know, if they have to cancel a night of music because there's lightning, you're like, well, there's lightning right there. You know, we wish that it would go away, but we see that it's there, and we, you know, we understand that they have to do this stuff. It seemed like everything was set and everything was perfect, and literally this kind of intangible thing of, like, well, the water that they need to run the festival is potentially bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are sitting around, it's like, well, we have enough water for our campsite.
Yeah.
And there's the filtered water program, they brought in that water. So, but then when you start to talk about the house of cards, which is like the permits and the health, you know, department looking at the vendors and all the requirements they have to have, it seems like it's one of those things that couldn't be further from Fish's responsibility and just took the whole thing out. So,
yeah.
So we, luckily, kind of similar to Coventry, when everybody just sort of went, well, we'll just walk in, most people seem to just say, like, well, we're just going to party here tonight and, you know, have a good time and make the best of it. I would say maybe, like, from where I was standing, what I could see, maybe like 25% of the cars left right away. Some of the people at our campsite left because they were just like, you know, we can go get a hotel room, you know, before it was going to start raining overnight. And they're like, you know, our stuff won't get wet or whatever. We had way too far to drive. And so we stayed there.
Yeah.
There was a duo that played, like, I don't know what they were called or anything, but they said they'd played in the campground before. I think we actually heard them at Magna Ball, like a guy and a girl that were playing, you know, Fish covers and stuff. And there was a big crowd that gathered around. So, you know, there was a fun party. It was pretty lively, people sharing beer and food and stuff like that. But just so surreal when we got up this morning and just had to leave.
Yeah.
But the venue, the people working there, you know, the people walking to everything, the police, everybody was, like, very, very helpful and very cool. And so, you know, there's not bad feelings towards anybody. It's just, you know, it's Mother Nature, man, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were about 30 minutes away getting gas, I think, for the last time when we got the news. But we ended up going to a campground, and now we're at a different campground in central Pennsylvania, as I mentioned. But so heartbreaking for everyone.
That's pretty much the term I would use.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
And listening to Matt tell his little story about it, you know, was just living through it again.
Uh-huh.
And so that was yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So obviously, like, heartbreaking for us. I can't imagine how the band must feel. I mean, the whole band, they must be completely crushed. I just can't imagine, like, being in their shoes. Just because, you know, for them, this is their they've been planning it. They knew way more about what was going to happen than we did, right? And they probably had a lot of cool stuff planned. And, you know, they love playing music for their fans. But what's the – so, Jonathan, you were describing earlier for people who are curious, like, in terms of the financial implications for the band. Like, yeah, it's all speculation. But so they left. They, like, took off and went somewhere in, like, a bunch of helicopters or something. But they're going to – like, they – themselves as a band won't lose money, right?
I mean, there's money left on the table. They're not going to make what they were going to make, but there was, you know, guarantees and stuff. All that stuff is, you know, pretty standard. And the promoter will pay the band X and all of this, and then the promoter is going to lean on insurance for everything. And you know, they've said something about refunds for us.
Yep.
Though nothing in the way of details, but I'm sure that'll come out. They're trying. I'm sure. There's no question they're working hard to figure this out. They probably worked extremely hard, harder than many of us will probably ever know, to try to make this work.
Yeah.
And then once they realized it couldn't, the people in charge shifted gears and tried to figure out what's next and how they recover from this.
Yeah.
For us and themselves.
So. One thing I should say is I heard from Brando at Cash or Trade today, and he wants to come on and talk about the Cash or Trade kind of role in what's going to happen, because so many tickets changed hands, or wristbands, rather, and passes and stuff. So we're going to hopefully have him on tomorrow or Sunday, whenever he has sort of more definitive information about how people are going to recoup the you know, costs of the stuff they paid for through Cash or Trade. So I'm sure we'll know more about tomorrow, probably, about everything. So the band, yeah, so that's terrible. It's terrible for them. It's terrible for us as fans. So many people, I mean, we're lucky because we're sitting in an RV with our plugged into electric in a rainstorm, and we're sitting here drinking beer and talking on the internet to Matt. So we have it pretty good compared to people who flew from the West Coast.
There's a whole pack of people I saw a picture today of Japanese fans who were on site at the time of the announcement. I mean,
it's insane.
You almost literally couldn't come any further.
Yeah.
Right?
Just yeah. The other side of the world. I had friends who like had flown in from Denver, and they were like, they had to change planes in Newark to fly to Corning, and I texted them. They got the text message when they landed there and couldn't even just get their stuff and fly back because their checked bags were already on their way to Corning, so they wound up like having to go all the way.
Shit.
And now they have to figure out how to get home. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, you know, we were frustrated because we put in all of the effort to actually get in there, and we were set up and ready and everything like that. But it's like, you know, people who, you know, like that, who had to travel way further. Even you guys with the RV, like, I don't know what's going to happen with the RV. I know I saw people like sharing screenshots from emails where RV renters were already saying like, "Oh, such your festival's canceled, but don't expect a refund."
Yeah,
you know, like
kind of what I'm assuming. Yeah,
there's that. I mean, and then the other thing I think we really, really need to shine a light on is like all of the vendors that were participating in this. They're gonna lose some serious money on this. I know, like the Skinny Pancake from Burlington that was doing a restaurant. What I was told by somebody last night was that they had shut their restaurant down for several weeks.
Oh, wow.
In order to come and do this, because they knew that it would be such a huge event for them, they could make money and they would get attention and everything like that. And there was actually an article in the Burlington Free Press this morning that, you know, they're like, we need to talk to our financial people and our insurance company and stuff like that, because we have no idea what this is going to do to our business.
Yeah.
So there's some dire situations out there. So I mean, missing a Phish concert is really kind of like, you know, the least of our concerns. But I think collectively as a community, the band, the management, the artist, you know, the artists, the food, the beer, us, the fans, I mean, the level of preparedness was incredible, and it's just all gone to waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there'll be some kind of way to support the vendors or something in the coming days. And I guess, like you said this, Matt, but it's worth repeating. There's no one to blame. Like, there's, you know, we as humans are hardwired to look for a villain and try to like blame our bad situations on someone or something. But like, there's just, you know, it's not the band's fault. It's not the city's fault. It's not the venue's, you know, it's no one's fault.
And I blame Obama. Just,
Jonathan blames Obama, which I think is fair. Like, you know,
he definitely had a role to play here. I'm sure I can prove it.
So, what else, Matt, did you hear about, sort of Jonathan was talking about the band and like the promoter and how that relationship works. Do you have any additional thoughts on that piece?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question? I lost you for just a second.
The like Jonathan was talking about the promoter and the insurance and how that all works with the band, and I'm just curious if you have more thoughts on that.
In terms of the business stuff, I don't know how that works. I know that, I mean, I'm sure that they have insurance and everything, that, you know, that's why you have to get this kind of stuff. And I think that the landscape of throwing a festival right now is such that these things can be canceled by a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, Torfish on Twitter, who's actually works in the industry, was sharing some things last night. He was like, you know, you could have a sustained wind of like 35 miles per hour for a little while and they can shut it down. Like anything like that could happen. So I think they're prepared and the band's okay. I think, like I said before, I think my concern is more for everybody else that has put in time and money for this. I mean, it sucks for the band because, you know, they didn't get to play and they didn't get to, you know, put the art out into the world that they were prepared to do. But, I don't know. And I have no idea, but I hope they're okay. And I hope that doesn't mean the ticket prices are going to go up or something like that.
Yeah. So Dix is going to be lit, as the kids say. But do you think anything else is going to happen? Like what happens next in terms of music? Like, do we see additional shows in the fall? Do you think they'll do something between summer and fall or between Dix and fall? Or is it just like see you on tour?
No, they're going to show up at Dix. They're going to kill it. And we'll have fall tour not very long after that, you know, is it a month later? And then, you know, and hopefully that will also be great.
Yeah. I guess there, you know, a lot of people were saying, like, can't they just, well, I started.
Yeah, you did.
I said they should go to the Glens Falls Civic Center, and I have no idea what's going on there, or if it still exists or whatever. But, you know, a lot of people had a lot of suggestions about where Phish could just move their concerts. But it did, like, I think a lot of us thought, like, can't they just, like, go to the barn and, like, play together and, like, webcast it? Or, like, I mean, all this stuff is super logistically difficult, obviously, but I think a lot of people are just wanting to see some music this weekend, but they can see other music.
There is other music happening. What are they calling the
they're calling
Disc Jam and some other
Disc Jam and the Purple Pig Festival are doing something called Knuckleball. Two or three nights.
That's up in like Naples.
Yeah, it's up north of Watkins Glen, I think. They said that they will have a surprise musical act on Saturday night that will make your curveball worries go away or something like that, which is kind of unfair for them to say that because it's just like a little bit of a tease, but good for them for getting on it and taking advantage of the attention and marketing. But Matt, any thoughts on where we go? Did you agree with Jonathan? Like no more shows, just see you this fall?
Yeah, I would be surprised if that would be very, very, very surprised if that happened. I know I'm going to try and see more shows because of this. I know some other people are saying the same thing. Like, I'm gonna get back to work and save the PTO day that I was going to use on Monday and try to spend that somewhere else.
Yep.
I think just in terms of this, them trying to do some sort of makeup, I mean, logistically, that can't happen. If they try to play somewhere for people, there's no place that's going to hold the amount of people that were supposed to be there. People get shut out. If they tried to do some sort of private streaming thing or something, then everybody has to be able to watch that.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, they've done that last night. We were in no position to
watch
that.
We were
still in campground. I mean, and the other thing is, just to get back to, like, the band and what they were experiencing and everything, like, there's no fucking way they wanted to play last night.
Yeah.
They were devastated.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that I think was a interesting sign. I mean, they rolled in on all the tour buses.
Yeah.
They rolled out when the announcement was made on one tour bus very, very quickly.
Okay.
I mean, I can't even imagine what the discussion was backstage, but they were probably livid and sad and, you know, just didn't, their hearts wouldn't have been in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Well, our hearts are in going to more Phish concerts, which is cool. Jonathan and I and our spirit family today were, our spirits were lifted, I think, by listening back to the double chocolate night of Baker's Dozen, particularly the Chalk Dust, You Sexy Thing. So we're gonna include that here because we encourage people to listen to that because it's so amazing still, and it's a good way to chase the curveball blues away. Anything else?
I kind of looked out the window and cried a little during it too.
Everyone can cry a little. It's fine. You know, like Kate, you said, someone said, like, not the kind of crying you were expecting to do at the Fish show. I was expecting to do it during like a hood jam or something, but you know, comes in different forms sometimes. Any last thoughts before we play people a little music and go back to being sad?
I love Fish and I know they love us. And so, we'll try it again. We just have to try it again.
Matt, anything else?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just pick yourself up, try to have some fun. Remember that things are, you know, it's not the end of the world. There's other people out there that have it all for us, including the people of, you know, Watkins Glen and the Finger Lakes region that have lost houses and stuff like that. I will say it was really, really positive to see the very quick action by a lot of people to say, all right, let's get food to food banks. Let's, you know, maybe go volunteer somewhere for the weekend and stuff like that. So it's good to see that was what immediately came out of this instead of a bunch of anger and, you know, lashing out and things like that. So I'm going to be a dick, and I am really thinking those ships are going to be killer now. I think they've got 2 weeks, and who knows what they're going to do now.
Yeah. You guys are going to Dick's, right? So our friends Kate and Jeremy are going. Jonathan and I are not going. Maddie, you're not going, right?
Nope.
So we will be couch touring or something.
This is going to be Maddie's first shows back in, what, 2 years?
2016.
2 years, yeah.
2 years. So that's going to be pushed off to Hampton, I guess.
Yeah, but instead you're at a KOA campground with us outside Harrisburg.
There's no place else I'd rather be.
All right, Matt, go back to hanging out with your family. We'll see you soon. See everybody soon. I think our next episode will be a quick hit after Dick's Night One, unless we decide to do something in the meantime. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and enjoy this Chalk Dust. Just keep on rocking if you can. Take care of each other and be good.
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly two centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Just in the family.
Thank you. Thank you. welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life. And then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
Hey, you. Do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-d.com, soundtalentmedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.